What's going on, everybody? Believe in Blazers is back. Torrey Jones, Stephen Vaughn here with you. Some exciting things going on here in Rip City. Torrey, man, I'm excited to be back with you, man. How's it doing?
It's going good, man. It's been like 2 months, kind of been on a hiatus near the end of the season, but we're going to ratchet these back up going into what should be an eventful offseason and a lot to talk about. A lot has changed since we last did a podcast. It was still in the Blazers season. That was obviously a disaster. But since then, offseason started and the Blazers have gotten the third overall pick. So we're going to have a fun debate as to what should happen with that third overall pick. And a lot of off-season ideas that we might pitch back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be real. Like, we could have been doing podcasts every week, but what are we going to do? We're talking about Skylar Mays, talking about, you know, who are those other guys that were on the team? I don't know. I didn't want to talk about those guys. So we didn't need to. Now we need to, because now we're in the off-season. Now we're approaching the third pick in the draft. We're approaching free agency, trades, all of it. And we both got ideas for the Blazers to be good. But you know what, Torrey? Third pick in the draft for the Portland Trailblazers, that's great. You know what's even better? When you can bet on NBA draft props, because that's what I do. I tell you what, I'll be doing that. We'll do that at Bet Online, of course. That's where you always do it, Bet Online. Use the code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. Get 50% off your first deposit. Bet Online. Torrey, let's bet on some NBA draft props, huh? All right. I'm in. We need to do that. But, okay, let's just start off with the Blazers. Third pick in the draft. That's what they get in the draft lottery. Exciting yet disappointing. All the emotions. I was on the air. You were live when during the draft lottery. I was so excited. I could barely talk on the air. Like, I really was convinced Wembanyama was coming to Portland. It didn't happen. So now Portland's with the third pick. Initially, gut feeling, Torrey. How did you feel when you saw the Blazers get the third pick? Were you thinking, all right, Portland's going to be drafting somebody here, or this is going to be traded out for a veteran player?
I mean, you have to expect it to be traded out with everything this organization said. I was going into the draft lottery thinking that it would only stay in Portland if it was the number one overall pick, because Wembanyama, I think, if I had to bet, I think he'll be an all-star next year as a rookie. Like, I have that much faith in that guy. So being able to get a guy that young but just a total game changer defensively would have allowed the Blazers to play both timelines, be competitive now and very competitive in the future. And that's why I wanted him so desperately for this Blazers team. It was just the perfect spot for him and the perfect guy for us. But without getting that number one pick, fully expect a trade of this third overall pick, but we're starting to get into rumor season now, and now's when it really gets juicy, because we're starting to try and figure out, okay, what could be on the table for that third overall pick, and is it worth taking?
For me, Torrey, it was like, I saw the Blazers get in the top four, I saw the Blazers get third, and my first thought was, who can they get at three? Like, who are they going to draft? That was my initial thought, and I know it's different than a lot of Blazer fans, but like, I feel like you needed to explore the trade of Damian Lillard, and you still do. Like, it doesn't mean to trade him, but you have to have every option on the table. Whether it's Brandon Miller, whether it's Scoot Henderson, like, those guys are really good prospects. And I know there's questions about both of them, but you have to consider every single thing. So, you know, that was my first initial reaction was, hey, who can the Blazers get at three? Is it going to be Scoot? Is it going to be Brandon Miller? Like, who's a better fit? Does that mean we can trade Dame or Anthony Simons? Like, all of it goes into it. So it's fun. It's fun right now. It's going to be frustrating. It's going to be insane and crazy, because I have no idea what's going to happen. I've heard so many different things. I know you've heard so many different things. There's lots of rumors. The latest rumor, of course, you know, you guys have been talking about it over at your channel on Blazers Uprise. I wrote about it a little bit over at 750thegame.com a while back. Jaylen Brown, he's the big option right now. Bill Simmons, Russillo, they were talking about it on their podcast. Jaylen Brown for the third pick and Anthony Simons, basically-ish. You know, that's the framework of a trade. Is Jaylen Brown the top of your list, or is it somebody else? Is it Mikal Bridges? Is it Joel Embiid if he really wants out? I know it's not DeAndre Ayton for you. Is it somebody else? What are you thinking? If the Blazers are to trade that pick, who's the number one guy you want them to go after?
I think Jaylen Brown's at the top of a realistic list. I think anybody better than him, a Giannis, a Joel Embiid at this point, is unrealistic. But then again, with Embiid, with Harden seeming more and more likely to go to Houston, who knows how that plays out? So keep that on the back burner, I guess. I just don't expect Joel Embiid to get moved, even if Harden leaves. He has multiple years left under his contract. But Jaylen Brown is absolutely the number one option at this point. And I could see it playing out a bit like Jeremy Grant did last offseason, because there's some similarities in both their situations. Jeremy Grant last offseason was going into the final year of his deal with Detroit. This offseason, Jaylen Brown will be going into the final year of his deal in Boston. And Grant didn't end on bad terms with Detroit. He just had a handshake agreement with them that if he wanted to go somewhere else, they would abide by that and trade him where he wanted to go. That was a condition of him signing in Detroit and leaving Denver. So Jeremy Grant wanted to play with Dame. Detroit obliged, and Portland got pretty good return on value in that Jeremy Grant trade. Now you have Jaylen Brown, and it's a little bit different because he doesn't have that handshake agreement, but also it seems like he's ending on bad terms with Boston. There's been issues, it seems, with how he feels about fans there in Boston, and there's been reports and whispers about that locker room being a little bit dysfunctional, and it's just, there's a weird vibe around that team right now, and it seems like there's something off, and it seems like Jaylen Brown doesn't want to be there, and that's what I've heard so far, is Jaylen Brown does not want to be in Boston. So with him going into the final year of his deal, and if he doesn't want to be there, he can use that final year of his deal to leverage his way out, and supposedly Damian Lillard and Jeremy Grant are guys that he would like to play with, which, you know, I feel like fans look at the situation and it's, why would anyone want to go to Portland? Look how much they struggled. But Jeremy Grant wanted to play with Dame, and Damian Lillard is really respected across the league. I finally feel like he's successfully potentially recruiting some guys, which we've been hoping for a while. Now it sounds like Jaylen Brown's a real possibility, and Portland has a really good package for him with Anthony Simons in the third overall pick, so I think that is becoming more and more likely. I don't know how likely it is. My co-host Eric Brandt is very confident in it, so we'll see how that pans out, but Jaylen Brown, I think, right now is the number one realistic option.
I agree with you. I think it's Jaylen Brown's the number one option that it seems attainable. This is a rumor that I have heard, that, but nothing in concrete, right? Like, it's just been kind of talked about, but there's really been no offers, no proposals, no anything like that. Just kind of talking around the table. But you're right about Jaylen Brown, the way he feels about Boston. Like, he hasn't been afraid to say it. He had a quote early this year. He just said, you know, as long as I'm needed, it's not up to me. We'll see how they feel about me over time, and I feel about them over time. Hopefully, whatever it is, it makes sense. But I'll stay where I'm wanted, and I will stay where I'm needed and treated correct. End quote. Like, he said that about Boston. So it is out there that he isn't maybe necessarily the most happy guy, because there's been lots of rumors about trades in Boston, and he's always the guy that's in the trade offers. Kind of like CJ McCollum here in Portland back in the day. Like, it was always keep Dame, trade CJ. Well, in Boston, it's keep Jason Tatum, trade Jaylen Brown. So that can get hard on you. I think it is true. I think the disconnect here, maybe with some fans, myself, maybe with you, I need to hear this for your opinion on this, but just what is the value of Jaylen Brown? And what is the, what's the value of the third overall pick? What's the value of Anthony Simons? Is it enough to be just Anthony Simons in the third pick, or does Portland have to throw another pick in there, or maybe two picks or other assets to get Jaylen Brown out of Boston? Jaylen Brown, second team All-NBA, 26 years old. He honestly, like, him and Mikal Bridges, maybe the two best fits next to Damian Lillard in the NBA. Like, they really might be. What's the value of Jaylen Brown right now on the open market? Would Portland have to give up more than just Anthony Simons and the third pick of the draft?
See, with him having only 1 year left on his contract, I think his value is a little bit less if he wants to leave, because he can use that against Boston to force his way out, saying, I won't resign here. You have to trade me now if you want to get value back for me, compared to him having multiple years where maybe other teams are a little bit more willing to take him on because they're not worried about having to resign him. So I think, given the fact that he's going into the last year of his deal, much like it played out with Grant, I think could make his price more palatable for a team trading for him. Now, the good thing for Portland, if he wants to play with Dame and Grant, is he can use that final year of his deal to say, I'll only resign here, I'll only resign in these couple of cities. So if you trade for me and you're not one of these couple of teams, I'm not resigning. And he can hardball teams into not giving up a ton of assets for him. So in the most optimistic world, I would think it could maybe take less than Anfernee Simons in three. But then again, you're talking about a guy who was second team All-NBA, averaged 27-7 and 3.5 assists, really good slasher, has proven he can be the second best player on a championship contending team, two-way star. Like, those guys don't become available often, and when they do, normally they require a lot. So I think with all that taken into account, it boils down to just a clean trade of Simons and the third pick for Jaylen Brown. Boston can still go young with Jason Tatum. He's barely 25. Anfernee Simons 23. They could draft somebody with that pick and just have like a 5-6 year window to kind of grow into. Or they could flip that third pick. Maybe they could get Pascal Siakam, and maybe it's Siakam and Simons for Jaylen Brown and something else. They might be better with that next year, depending on how the rest of their team looks. So it would give Boston some options and give them some security. So I think Anfernee Simons in the third pick is solid value for Boston. It might be a little rich for Portland, but if you're going to keep Dame, you got to go for it at some point, and I think that's probably as good as you're going to find, and I think that's the trade to make.
Am I crazy to think that it's going to take more than Anfernee Simons in the third pick in the draft?
I don't think you're crazy. I think if he had multiple years left on his deal, that would certainly be possible, but given his situation and if he plays hardball, I just don't see it playing out to that.
Because I just don't. What is Anfernee Simons' fit in Boston? Like, they have other guys. Is he just going to be a scorer that doesn't have to play defense? If that's his role, then that's fine. But they have guys like Malcolm Brogdon, who, you know, I know Anfernee Simons puts up higher stats than him, but Malcolm Brogdon's done it as well. Like, when he was the best player on a bad team, he put up 20 points a night. Like, I don't know how much better Anfernee Simons is than Malcolm Brogdon, than Derek White, because of the way they play defense in the playoffs. It shows you need to have guys that can play defense and can get buckets other ways. Anfernee Simons, more of just a shooter right now. Is he really going to develop that game where he can get into the paint and finish inside when all the physicality is there? I'm not sure. I just don't know how much better he really makes Boston. So what, like, for me, why is Boston going to trade their second team All-NBA guy where they have a legitimate chance to, you know, go to the NBA Finals for a guy who I don't even know where he necessarily fits in as the main piece back? So I feel like Boston's going to want more, but that just maybe me underrating Anfernee Simons, or, you know, thinking he's not as good as he is in the open market. That's the part that gets me, because Jaylen Brown is that guy, right? Like, I'm all for drafting the guy at three. There's really no one in the NBA that's going to change my mind, except for probably Jaylen Brown. If the Blazers can get Jaylen Brown in for the third pick, I'm all for it, and I'm happy. If they can't, I want them to draft somebody. I don't know what the trade exactly is going to be. I think that's the interesting part, but if it is Anfernee Simons and Jaylen Brown, just those two, or Anfernee Simons and the three for Jaylen Brown, it's just that, I'm all in on that trade.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as Simons goes in Boston, I think he'd fit really well. I think he'd get higher quality three-point shots. He shot 38% from three last season, but the two seasons before that was above 40%. For his career, he's at 39%, and I think the quality of his three-point shots would be better in a Boston offense that is just more well-rounded. And then given how well they move, I think Anfernee Simons struggles in stagnant offenses. He's not Dame level, obviously, in terms of creating one-on-one in isolation. I think he's made strides, and I think the stats back that up. He just shot his highest percentage from two in the past 4 years. His free throw rate, I believe, was a career high, or at least since his first couple of seasons, which was just small sample size. His free throw rate improved this year compared to last year, so it's still not necessarily where it needs to be, but I think attacking closeouts is where Anfernee Simons will excel in that Boston offense, and I think he can be an efficient 20 to 23, 24 point per game scorer just playing off the guys they have there, knocking down threes and then attacking closeouts, getting to the lane, getting to that floater, and then obviously the playmaking's improved. So if you believe in Boston's player development, which they've done a pretty good job no matter who's the coach in the past 5 to 6 years or so, and Anfernee Simons still being 23, maybe they can get something out of him that Portland can't. So I think Boston would value him quite a bit. You do have four guards then with Marcus Smart, Derek White, Malcolm Brogdon, and Anfernee Simons. Maybe you play some small ball, but I think one of those guys would get traded out for some front court help elsewhere, and I think that's how they would balance their team. So I do think Simons in three is pretty good for them.
Yeah, I mean, just for what it is, Malcolm Brogdon shot 45% on threes this year, so it's not like it's a bunch of a need to get another shooter in there, but that is what it is. All right,
you never have enough shooting in today's NBA, Steven.
I mean, that's very true. That is very true. And that's something, you know what, for all the things I say Anthony Simons can't do, he can shoot the basketball. He could definitely shoot the basketball. I do want to say this now. Okay, so let's say Jaylen Brown's off the table, right? It's Boston, they end up pulling off the unbelievable down 3-0, get to the NBA Finals, because as we're recording, they just beat the Heat in Game 4. It's 3-1 in that series. Boston gets to the NBA Finals. They end up winning. Jaylen Brown's like, you know what? I can hang out in Boston for a little bit longer. He's off the table. Then it becomes Mikal Bridges. I think that's probably the second option for Portland right now. If it's the same thing, Anthony Simons and the third pick for Mikal Bridges, it seems like Brooklyn wants more. I don't know if they'd get more. I don't know what it is. I have heard that it's Anthony Simons and the three for Bridges and a draft pick. That's kind of what the starting point is from everybody that I've talked to, is that Portland's going to want something back in return as well, with Mikal Bridges coming back to Portland for Anthony Simons in the three. Is Mikal Bridges a guy in Portland you think would fit, first of all? And second of all, Anthony Simons in the three, is that package for Mikal Bridges, is that something that is interesting in your mind, or is that something where you want Portland to then look to draft someone?
Yeah, I think you can make the argument that Bridges fits better than Jaylen Brown. It's just the team isn't as good because Jaylen Brown's a more talented offensive player. I just think Bridges fits better because I think he's a little bit more consistent three-point shooter and a little better on-ball defender. Brown's good. Bridges is great.
Would you say Bridges is the best on-ball defender in the NBA?
It's kind of hard to quantify that. I mean, when you got a guy like Jrue Holiday, you know, Marcus Smart's pretty dang good. But for a three-man... For a small forward, I think you could definitely make that argument.
I mean, I always, when I describe Mikal Bridges, I always say he's the best on-ball defender. Like, that's the guy that I would want guarding, you know, whether it's a 6'2 guard or a 6'9 guy, Kevin Durant style, I want Mikal Bridges on him. Like, that's the guy that I would want over a Marcus Smart or Jrue Holiday, who are both great in themselves. But I think Mikal Bridges is, you know, I would take him number one over everybody.
Yeah. The thing is with Mikal, though, that's tough is Brooklyn has a higher valuation of him than the rest of the league does, because Brooklyn saw him play 27 games for them and look like an absolute superstar. He averaged 26 points per game. Now, the problem is, if you include playoffs, the Nets were 12-19 with Mikal Bridges playing that well for them. So they are a lottery team with Mikal Bridges. And the problem is he just played so well that they view him in the light of a 26-point-per-game score, of somebody that provides that defensive value, but then also is that good offensively, where the rest of the league is just looking at it like, okay, that's a small sample size playing for a team that was not good. He did take a jump offensively in Phoenix to start the year, but he was a 17-point-per-game scorer. So it's like, if you're bringing him into a team trying to win, what is his offensive production? It's probably closer to like 19, 20 points per game. With that on-ball defense, that's very, very valuable, but that's not like a all-star, all-NBA caliber player. That's not a Jaylen Brown. So I think that's where the disconnect is, and for that reason, I do think if the Blazers give up Anthony Simons and the third pick, they do need something back. They do need that draft pick. As far as how willing I am to do that, it depends on what they could turn that draft pick into. If they flipped it to Chicago so they could open up future first, what do those turn into? Because the only way I want to trade three is if I could see the team contending over the next couple of seasons. I don't think Mikal Bridges, or maybe even Jaylen Brown for that matter, is enough. So it's all about the follow-up moves at that point. And with Mikal, I think you have a little bit further to go, just because I don't trust him to be the second best offensive option consistently on a championship contending team like Jaylen Brown's shown that he can be. So that's where I think you need another asset. But for Brooklyn, I mean, I'm just worried they're gonna overvalue him too much.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just posturing right now by Brooklyn, but all reports basically are saying, like, you know, that's not gonna be enough. But that's not, you know, I've heard differently as well. So I think it all just kind of depends on when it gets closer to the draft time, what they value. If they fall in love with Scoot, because it does seem like Brandon Miller is probably going to go too. I don't see Charlotte drafting Scoot Henderson for that team when they have LaMelo Ball on it. So it seems like Scoot's going to be there. By all accounts, you know, Scoot Henderson's the real deal. He'd be the number one pick in a lot of NBA drafts. He has a lot of potential. He had a down-ish year this past year as his second year in the G League. I think maybe he was a little bit of, I don't want to say boredom, but kind of boredom. Like, he just didn't want to get hurt. Yeah, he's ready to play in the league. He's ready to play in the real NBA, not the G League. So I think that could be a little bit to do with it. But
I want to stick on the Nets for a second, because you're talking about the RSA. They have a ton of players that would make sense from a role player standpoint. And I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on a couple of them. So Nick Claxton, you've wanted to upgrade Yusuf Nurkic for a while now. And I've been the guy that says, that doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. We'll talk about a couple guys in a bit that don't make sense and why. But I do think one guy that makes sense is Claxton, because in my opinion, he's a top three or four defensive center in the league. What are your feelings on him being the piece that Portland gets back? I think Portland might have to give up a little extra value to get him and McHale than just Simons in the third pick. But would you be willing to do that? And how do you feel about him?
Yeah, I like Nick Claxton as a player, because, you know, the thing about Nurk is, we've talked about this, like, he is not a great athlete. He can play good defense. He's a really good positional defender a lot of times. He gets blamed for a lot of stuff. He does a lot of good things on the defensive end. But Nick Claxton is a really good athlete. Not only that, defensively, offensively, he's a, you know, a screen and roller where he can get the alley-oop at the rim. Portland hasn't really had that ever. I mean, like, was the last time that happened? I think that would be very helpful for a guy like Dame, for a guy like Anfernee Simons, if somehow he was still on the team. Like, any of those guards, I think, would be very helpful to have that, you know, that rim runner. You know, I guess Drew Eubanks is, like, the closest thing they've had. And you know how that's been. So I would love it. I'm with you. I don't think that Brooklyn's going to want to get rid of Nick Claxton and Mikal Bridges for just Anfernee Simons in the third pick. Now, what would Portland have to give up else? Would it be worth it? I don't think that it would. But it also depends on what they have to give up. It's like, I love Nick Claxton. I love that idea you have, Tori. I don't trust Brooklyn on what they are going to want to give up for him. Because you look at what they got for Durant. They got a lot for Durant. And so I think they're riding high on that. They traded Kyrie. Looks like they got a good deal on Kyrie as well. They got out of that deal. Like, they don't want to get stuck into more of these contracts and they don't have to. I think they're rebuilding the way they want to rebuild. And they're not just going to give away players. So I think that's the problem right now. Is what is the actual value that you can get for Nick Claxton if he's the throw-in?
Yeah, and the problem is with Brooklyn is they don't control much of their future first, but if they get some future first back, maybe they can flip them for their first back. The problem is they traded unprotected first to Houston for James Harden, and we know how that turned out. So that is something that's kind of looming over it. But then again, because I've heard from a lot of Nets fans, I've done videos on Mikal Bridges, and Nets fans have found them and given my thoughts, and they say, we can't rebuild. We don't want to rebuild because we don't own our future first. But, I mean, they were 12-19 with Mikal playing amazing, so they're already kind of there, in my opinion. But as far as Claxton goes, if you can contend, I think it justifies giving up whatever price. And that's the question for me, is if Portland, offensively, they'll be fine if they have Mikal and Sharp and Grant and Claxton and Dame, right? In just an average bench. Like, they'll probably be a top five offense. The question mark just comes in, can they defend well enough? And that's why I have a lot of interest in Bridges plus Claxton. And that's kind of my question for you. Let's say they have an average defensive bench and their starting lineup next season is Dame, Shaedon Sharpe, Mikal Bridges, Jeremy Grant, and Nick Claxton. Where does that team rank defensively?
That is a good question. It's tough because we saw what Jeremy Grant can't do last season guarding the ball. We've seen what Dame can't do guarding the basketball his whole career. Shaedon Sharpe, I mean, are we really going to trust a 20-year-old to go out there and play solid defense? Like, I still think there's two negative defenders for sure. Jeremy Grant's a good help defender. The oddball defense is still going to be a problem. I would say best-case scenario, they're probably right in the middle of the NBA. I would probably lean more towards 20-ish, though,
to be honest. Yeah, I probably put him 15. I think that's a good spot for them because Grant would be utilized better. Grant would be more of a positive on the defensive end next season with Mikal Bridges in the fold because Mikal Bridges would be your on-ball stopper. That's his role. So I think you'd be able to play Grant in more of a help side role And the problem was last year is like, for the better part of the season, Grant's getting screened out of plays, and you have Yusuf Nurkic and three guys that are like 6'4 or shorter, with Dame, Ant, and Hart as your secondary rim protector. Nurkic has no help, and he's just getting straight line drive after straight line drive because Jeremy Grant can't get through a screen. And that was a huge issue defensively.
If that's your starting five, though, Torrey, like, where are they ranking in the Western Conference? Like, are they going to be a playoff team for sure, or is this a team fighting for the play-in? The West is so deep, man. Like, I know that there's no elite team in the West. Well, the Nuggets are probably the elite team in the Western Conference right now. But after that, maybe the Suns, I guess. I don't know. But, like, the West is so deep. There's, like, 12 teams that are good. Like, is that lineup really going to be good enough for Portland to be a top six team in the Western Conference? Like, I don't think it is. I really don't think that is a good enough lineup that you say, okay, like, this is a pretty high likely team to be in the top six.
I mean, if they're like, the fifth best offense and 15th best defense, that's probably a top six team. That's probably a top 16. Sacramento was first. And this was with them being healthy all year. I feel like Sacramento's gotten a little bit overrated because they just did not have injury issues hardly all season long.
But they're not going to go away.
They're not going to go away, but I do think that you'll see them take a little bit of a step back next year just because I don't think they're going to be as healthy. It's just odds are they're not. But they were first in offense and 25th in defense this season. You know, so that's the thing is, can Dame and McHale and Grant and Sharp and Nurk and an average bench, I think an average bench would be better than last year, just as a side note, but I think that could be, you know, third best offense, fourth best offense. We've seen Dame lead subpar units to really good offensive rankings and win games and get the three seed because of how good the offense is. So for me, it's just how good is that defense, and that's why I would like McHale and Claxton, because I think that could be an average defense, and I think that would make them a top six team in the West if they could have an average defense with that unit.
So let's say I can guarantee you they'll be top six, but I'm not going to guarantee you where. It could be 1-6. Is trading the third pick in the draft worth it? Is it worth it trading for Mikal Bridges and a Nick Claxton when you still don't know if this team's a true contender? Like, you talk about Sacramento, they weren't real contenders, and we all knew that. Like, they could win a round, they could win a series, they almost did, but they weren't going to be a contender for the NBA title. Even Golden State this season, they weren't going to be a contender for the NBA title. Like, is Portland going to be that team? Is it worth it to trade the potential of a Scoot Henderson for that Mikal Bridges and that chance to be a top six team, when are the Blazers really going to be a true championship contender? I don't think that they are, and I don't think that it is.
I think they'd have the potential to, because I truly think Bridges and Claxton can be that game-changing defensively. You would be counting on Sharp taking a bit of a leap there, but I don't think you can rule that out. And if you could build a good defensive bench, which you already have Thybulle, and if you have Claxton behind him, I think Thybulle becomes a better defender because he likes to gamble. He's a good defensive player, but he likes to gamble. And if you have Claxton behind that to clean things up, then that gambling isn't as bad and might actually be a good thing in terms of making some plays. So if you bring back Thybulle, I don't know if Denver's going to be able to pay Bruce Brown more than the taxpayer mid-level exception. That's a guy Portland was interested in last offseason. That is my favorite mid-level exception going into this offseason.
Why would he not make more? Why would he not make more? He's proven that he's really good on a really good team.
Yeah, but Denver, with where they are salary-wise, might not have more than $6.5-7 million to offer him. They will have his non-bird rights, but that's 120% what he made last year, so they could only offer him $7 million. And it's not like they got contracts they would be willing to trade out. I mean, every big contract on their team is key contributors. So if you can offer Bruce Brown $12 million a year and maybe you start him ahead of Sharp, like, that is... It's not likely by any means, but that you definitely have to kick the tires on that if you're Portland, because that's another guy where, like, if you bring him into the fold defensively, you can make a case for pushing top 10 at that point, because that dude is so impactful defensively and has some secondary playmaking, can cut. Like, I love Bruce Brown. Joe Cronin just signed Bruce Brown last freaking offseason instead of Gary Payton II. We might not be talking about having the third pick or anything. We might be talking about how we made the playoffs if that was the case, because that dude is a true game changer. And look, he gets to Denver and they're in the finals. They're in the finals. They swept the Western Conference Finals and he was a big part of that. So I think if you had Bridges and Claxton and then got the right pieces around them. Maybe the Lakers go after Kyrie and let Rui walk in free agency. Rui Hachimura, who's a guy I've wanted for a while, and maybe the full middle of exception Portland can use on him. He's been solid defensively in the playoffs and offensively been great during this postseason run that the Lakers had. If you can surround that team with the right bench pieces, I think it has the upside to contend. So, you know, it's not like, oh yeah, you can definitely, you know, sharpie them in to the contenders list, but I think you can write it in pencil. I think it has that sort of upside, and I would love to explore that.
Yeah, I'm going to be clear here. Basically what I'm saying, like, is this a really good playoff team? I'm assuming the bench is going to be average because the bench was atrocious this last year for the Blazers. So, you know, it can't be worse, right? Like, it has to be upgraded. So that's kind of my assumption, that I'm hoping the Blazers improve the bench and they become good, because you're right. Like, all those guys they could use. I mean, they just could use guys that know how to play basketball at this point. Their bench is really bad this past year, and it got a lot to improve. I do want to throw this out at you, Tori. Okay, we're going to play a quick game here. On the spot. I'm going to say a guy's name, and you're going to give a one-word answer on how you feel about him. You ready for it?
I'm down. Let's do it.
All right. The player is Anfernee Simons. Define him with one word. One word. Let's go.
Shooter.
Is he an all-star caliber player?
I think he can be in the right situation.
Then why is Portland even exploring to trade him and not exploring to trade Dame and build around Anfernee Simons? And I know you're going to bring up Anfernee Simons as a lead guard. He puts up great stats. It's a short sample size. I know. If he's this good, why is Portland not exploring to trade Dame, build Anfernee Simons as the one, draft Scoot Henderson, there's your backcourt, there's your future. You're getting 4-5 first-round picks for Damian Lillard. You're building around Dame, or you're building around Ant, Scoot, and Shaedon Sharpe. That's the obvious answer. I don't understand why more Blazers fans aren't saying this. I don't even like Anfernee Simons. I like that option better than trading for, you know, Mikal Bridges. And I don't even like Anfernee Simons. I don't think he's that great. I think he's fine. He's a fine player. But I feel like a lot of Blazers fans love his game and they think he can get a lot better. Why is this not an option, Tori? Why are you not pushing for Anfernee Simons to be the lead guard in Portland, trade Dame, get draft picks, build that way?
Because here's the thing. And here's the thing nobody talks about, Stephen, right? It's like, oh, you either got to completely rebuild right now by trading Dame right now, or you got to go for it right now. Okay? I think that if you go for it right now, it's not like you can't hit the rebuild button a season or two from now. If you can get Mikal Bridges for the third pick, why in one or two drafts wouldn't you be able to trade Mikal Bridges for the third pick? Like, you can get return. You can get return on what you trade for. So I feel like everybody's looking at it like, if you go for it now, that's how it's going to be for the next 5 years, right? Why don't we just put those players next to Dame, see how good a team is, maybe a team that we feel like has upside to contend, and then if it doesn't work out in a season or two, we can hit the rebuild button then. And we can probably still get a lot for Dame. We can get a lot for Jaylen Brown on a new contract. We can trade Anfernee Simons if you want to do it then.
When was the last time the Trailblazers made drastic moves year after year? That's why. They don't. They try to keep these same guys and build around them.
When was the last time they traded Damian Lillard? Never. So we're talking about uncharted territory anyway.
But everyone tells me how good Anfernee Simons is, how he's a great lead guard. Why is he not being brought up as being the answer? He's 23 years old. He should, in theory, get better by a lot of people. Damian Lillard is older. You don't want to lose the value. His contract's going to kick in. I don't care what you say, Tori. By the end of his contract, it's not going to be a great contract. I'm just telling you right now.
Here's the thing. What team do you think you're going to get 5 first-round picks from? Let's play this game. What team is trading 5 first-round picks for Damian Lillard right now?
I'm just saying that you would be surprised. I don't know who it is. Did we think Matt Ishbia was going to come in day one and trade for Kevin Durant?
Here's the problem, though. A lot of teams have traded, like, all their first-round picks that are available for guys recently. Minnesota did it for Gobert. Phoenix did it for KD. Okay, Dallas doesn't have first. They used up the rest of them on Kyrie. Miami has like one first round pick. There's so many teams out there where it's like, oh yeah, that would be the team to trade for Damian Lillard. Philadelphia, if they lose him, if they lose Harden, right? Philadelphia doesn't have future firsts that they can trade. The problem is there's so many spots that would be Damian Lillard landing spots that people that want to trade Dame are like, you trade him there or trade him here. But they don't have first round picks to trade. So we can sit here and say, oh, you know, trade Dame for five firsts and build around Scoot, build around whoever. But it's like, what is going to be that team that trades five firsts for Dame?
So what you're saying is Damian Lillard, there's no chance he gets traded, right?
I just don't think you're going to get enough value to justify it. Like, you're not going to get the value that Dame should be worth because these teams have put themselves in a position where they don't really have assets, the teams that would trade for him.
Well, it's because they waited a few, 2 years later. But that's just another topic that I could talk about going on forever, that they waited too long to even interest this trade. The thing I'm worried about, Tori, is this. And on the BFT with John Canzano, we had Ben Golliver on. Ben Golliver, you know, Washington Post, respected basketball guy. Used to be Blazers Edge. You know, I know how much you love Blazers Edge. He made a good point. There's going to be life after Damian Lillard because there was life before Damian Lillard. Back in the 70s, there was life before Bill Walton, life after Bill Walton. In the 90s, life before Drexler, life after Drexler. Brandon Roy, same thing, before and after. It's going to be okay. If the Blazers ended up trading Damian Lillard tomorrow, the franchise is going to live on, and they're going to make more moves, and they're going to be fine. So why would the Blazers be held hostage, basically, in the situation of playing into what Dame wants? Dame says they need to trade this pick because he doesn't want to play with 19-year-olds. Well, you know what? It didn't work out with the Dame. Like, the best thing for the future is to draft Scoot Henderson, because when you have the third pick in the draft, you don't get that very often. That's where you draft all-stars. That's where you draft Hall of Famers. That's where you draft elite talent. So you can get that guy, trade Dame, get some more assets in, and build for the future. To me, like, it doesn't make any sense to be like, you know what? We need to build around Dame. We need to go all in with Dame. We have this third pick in the draft. The Blazers do. Use it. Use it as a draft pick. Look how the Nuggets built their team. Jokic, draft pick. Murray, draft pick. Porter Jr., draft pick. The only guy they really traded for was Aaron Gordon. That's in their rotation. Like,
here's the problem, though, Steven. They didn't get Jokic from rebuilding. They got him with the 41st pick. You look at almost every contender right now, and they did not get there from rebuilding in terms of, like, just drafting guys at the top of the draft. Look at Miami. They're contending because they got, like, two undrafted dudes in their starting lineup.
But that's not normal, though. That's
yeah, but they normal. Set a culture. It's more than just, like, oh, you got to rebuild in order to, like, build after Damian Lillard. You say there's life after Damian Lillard. Life after Damian Lillard doesn't have to be today. And you can get there without top draft picks. I mean, look at the Lakers, right? Now, it's Los Angeles, so guys came, but they were like 13th. They were actually worse than Portland at the point in time in which Portland decided to blow it up. But what did they do? They traded for three solid role players and made a conference finals. You look at
they also had Anthony Davis, who was the number one overall draft pick in an NBA draft, Tory. The Blazers aren't getting these guys. They're not going to get these guys.
They traded for him in a similar package that they could potentially trade right now for a Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown, don't act like Jaylen Brown is on the same level as Anthony Davis when they're right. Anthony Davis is a top 75 player of all time. Like,
Jaylen Brown can stay healthy for more than a week.
And Anthony Davis should have been the finals MVP. So there we go. Like, that guy can lead a team.
A lot of teams that are good right now didn't get there through rebuilding. Okay. They didn't get there through rebuilding. Like, that's the thing. Jokic, you drafted with the 41st overall pick. The Bucks are only contenders because they got Giannis with the 15th pick.
Through the draft.
With the 15th pick.
That's the point, though.
Draft. Why don't you find those guys and keep Dame?
Yeah, because it's so easy to find Nikola Jokic.
Because it's so easy to find another Dame. Right? Like, that's the thing is,
It's much more likely if the third pick than it is to try to, you know, with the 15th pick or the second round pick. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can look at all the really good players in the NBA, Tori. They're all like top three, top five, top six picks like Dame. Don't just trade these picks like they're nothing. Like, use it as an asset to build your franchise for the next 10 seasons rather than look at it as a 3-4 year window to build around Dame. Like, it's okay to, like, let go and to look to trade Dame.
It's okay.
Here's the thing. people overrate how successful full rebuilds are. For you would see more teams contending right now that went full rebuild. What's the most famous rebuild in the last 15 years in the league?
Well, it's obviously this Philadelphia, and they got to the second round. I get that.
They haven't made it out of the second round. Sacramento, it took 20 years of rebuilding, and then, like, oh, they make a trade for Sabonis, and they hire Mike Brown, and that's what got them to where they are, right? Like, you look at Minnesota, how long have they rebuilding and retooling since Kevin Garnett? And then finally, it's like, oh, it's time to go for it this year. Yeah, let's make a stupid trade for Rudy Gobert, and now we're screwed for the next 10 years. Like,
yeah, well, then,
and they had multiple first overall picks.
The Blazers should have just tried to win games so they'd have the 8th pick in the draft, because that's what they would have had they kept all their guys healthy. Like, I understand your point, but like Boston, the way they got good was by drafting Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. The way the Nuggets got good is by drafting all these guys. The way the Warriors got good, drafting all their players. The Heat, a little different. Lakers, a little different. Those are the bigger markets. They attract guys. Also, the Heat have the best coach in the world and Jimmy Butler, who is one of the top 10 players in the NBA that nobody even talks about. And in the playoffs, he may be number one. I'm over-exaggerating that, but he's awesome. Like, they have Eric Spoelstra. They have a culture that no one can replicate. No, this is the worst. It's the worst thing to happen in the NBA, because now I can already see it. The Blazers are going to get the 8 seed, and all Blazers fans will be like, oh, let's have the Blazers make this run with Damian Lillard to the NBA Finals. Jimmy Butler did it. No, guess what? He's not going to be able to do it, because they're not the Heat. The Heat are the only team in the NBA that can do this.
I think you have much more parity in the NBA, which we talked about earlier this year. I think you have much more parity in the NBA because I don't think there's as much of a skill gap between superstars and like really good role players like at Anthony Simons, right? I think you have more super high quality offensive talent in the league than you've ever had. So I think in terms of offensive ratings, it's shrunk. So I think the gap between good and bad teams is smaller, and I think that's why you've seen the Lakers as a 7 seed make the conference finals, and you've seen the Heat as an 8 seed make the conference finals. So in that vein, I agree with you. You should go into a playoff series like, oh, it's fine, we're the 8 seed, we can, you know, let's just be the Miami Heat, right? It's much harder said than done, and their culture is impeccable, and they have arguably the greatest coach in the league, so it's really hard to replicate all that. But what's also really hard is finding a top 10 player and getting him to want to stay in Portland. I think if you draft Scoot and have Scoot, Sharp, and Anthony Simons, I think it's more likely than not that all three of those guys aren't as good as Damian Lillard is right now.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you. But at this point, you will have traded Damian Lillard and you have assets. And you're building with other players too. Like, you're not as bad as you think you are. And you also have first round value assets that you can trade for other players later on. And you're building with these other guys. It is the spot that the Blazers are in with Damian Lillard, they're nowhere near a championship. So, like, why are you going to be looking to trade that number 3 pick who could be a franchise pillar for the next 10 seasons for Damian Lillard, who I know we love and he's going to be good, but he's not going to be at this level for another 4 years. He's just not. Like, this was the best season he had. I can't imagine he's going to have a better season. He's going to have another really good season. He's going to have another All-NBA season. But I don't know if it will be like this, Torrey. I'm afraid that the Blazers are going to hang on to him too long. And then they're either going to have to eat the contract, and it's going to be a whole Kobe Bryant situation where he just hurt the franchise, but it's Kobe Bryant, so everyone was excited. Damian Lillard is going to get buckets for Portland. Or you're going to end up trading Dame, and you're not going to get the assets for him. Like, right now is the time to do it. This is the final time to really do it right now, I think, if you're the Blazers, to explore that trade. Because at least if you traded for Dame now and you're a contender, you're trying to be the last piece, you'll have a couple years to go with it. You have a couple years to try it. If you do it when he's 34, 35 years old, it's kind of like a last-ditch effort thing. So, I don't know, man. I don't see any point to not drafting a player at 3. Like, I am 100% on board drafting a player at 3, and if they want to keep Dame and have it be Scoot and Dame in the backcourt and just let it be and figure it out at that point. But to trade the number 3 pick for any type of veteran, I just don't see it, because it's not going to make them a contender. They're not going to win an NBA championship with trading that number 3 pick.
I don't think they're as far off as you act like.
How can I not? They've been terrible the last 2 seasons, and they've tried. They tried to win.
They were better than the Lakers at the deadline. And the Lakers added, the Blazers subtracted. Now, maybe that makes it harder this offseason, but they were like three games out of the fifth seed. And that was after having a horrible bench all season, their free agent signing being a freaking liar and, you know, the whole GP2 saga.
Which is crazy. It's still crazy, by the way.
So many things went wrong last season. And the fact that they were still like three games or four games or whatever it was at the deadline within the five seed after blowing the most double-digit leads in the league, it's not like they're just not hanging in games. They could compete with anybody if they just put together an entire game. They're blowing lead after lead after lead because, like, Jeremy Grant's shooting 18% from three in the fourth quarter randomly. Like, you remember that whole stretch where they legitimately just could not make good shots in the fourth quarter and they were losing games because of that? Now, sure, you could say, oh, well, that's just because they're not good enough, this and that. But as I said, with more parity, with the pack being tighter, I don't think the differences are that huge to the point where it's like, oh, well, if you could get Bridges and maybe Claxton thrown into the deal and you're giving up three Simons in a future first or two or whatever, like, that's still not good enough. I think that team would have the upside to make some serious noise because I think you've seen teams with a star player, with a guy that's a top 10 player, and then good role players that fit around him. You've seen those teams have success. Denver just did it. They don't have another all-star except for Jokic. Now, Jokic, I think, is the best player in the world, so that obviously helps. He's better than Dame, but they don't have another all-star. You look at Miami. They got Jimmy Butler and a bunch of cast-offs. Like, Kevin Love was about target. You got two undrafted players in the past 5 years that are starting for them. Duncan Robinson undrafted off the bench. Like, but the thing is they all fit. Their pieces fit. They have good role players. They don't have many weaknesses that teams can exploit. So that's the thing with Portland is you have two very clear-cut weaknesses that held them back last year. I think that's A, perimeter defense, B, rebounding. And I think both those areas were so bad that they're actually easily improvable. You already have what should be an elite offense, even if you use the pick or don't use the pick. But if you can use the pick to get that defense to at least an average standpoint and still have assets left over, future first potentially, to maybe improve the team at the deadline, especially if Sharp pops. Like, I understand the mindset on paper and just in terms of assets and team direction. I understand why people want to trade Dame. This is the first time that I've been able to understand it, but I still think it's very viable to try and improve some obvious areas of improvement and seeing if that improves the team by five or six games, because then they would have been in the battle for home court advantage around the deadline, and maybe you're adding instead of subtracting, which the Lakers did when they were worse than us and made a conference finals.
How likely do you think it could be that if the Blazers do trade this three pick, that they have another bad season?
If they get Mikal Bridges or Jaylen Brown, I don't think they'll have a bad season.
Like, play-in, probably, for sure, right?
At the very least, but I think they're in the playoffs.
I don't know, man. I think maybe I just think they're worse than you are, which is very true.
Here's my question. Would a lineup with Dame, Sharp, Bridges, Grant, and Nurk with an average bench be worse than the lineup that made the conference finals in 2019?
It's not worse, but at the same time, Dame had CJ McCollum, who's better than Shane Sharp at this point, and the West is way better than it was back then. Also, the Blazers weren't real contenders that year either. They got swept in the Western Conference Finals. I know they were winning the games. Golden State did not take them seriously. They did not care at any of those games. They crushed the Blazers because they knew they could. Like, the Blazers weren't contenders that year. So, like, well, I mean, awesome. It was a great play. It was a great, great run. I had a lot of fun. I was at one of the games against the Nuggets at home at the Moda Center. But you know what? They weren't contenders. So, like, they weren't close, and then they ran it back. They tried to improve, and they were terrible again. So, like, I'm afraid of this, Tori. I'm afraid they're going to try to rebuild. They're going to try to, or not rebuild, but regroup and build around Dame, and it's going to be the same exact thing. They're just not very good. The bench isn't great. If they keep Nurk, like, he's still a problem. If they keep Avery Simons, he's still a problem. Like, this team hasn't been good the last two seasons. Why am I going to think if they keep a lot of the same players that they're going to be good? I just can't.
I think the key thing with that 2019 team was they had really good role players off the bench that filled specific niches. Seth Curry's your shooter. Zach Collins, your versatile defensive big man, hustle guy. Rodney Hood is your guy that can go get you a bucket. If you hide a smaller guard on him, he can score out of the post a little bit, but then he can knock down timely threes, attack closeouts, that sort of thing. Like, their bench was really, really nice, and that's why they're able to go on a run, despite the roster not being that good. I mean, they had Alfred Camino, Mo Harkless, and Ennis freaking Cantor is their starting front court.
He was a baller, though. He was a baller that series.
In the first series, yes. In the Denver series, he didn't really do much. But like the Blazers were able to somehow beat Jokic with Ennis Cantor starting against them. Like, I don't know.
Dame wasn't good in that series, by the way.
Yeah,
it's not like Dame led the team in that series. CJ McCollum was much better in that Denver series.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's the thing. You have good role players that step up and fill specific needs, and I think that's kind of key. So, you know, everybody's going to focus on this third overall pick, and if it's traded, that's half the battle. Because then the next half of the battle is filling out that bench with those types of role players, and it should be a noticeably better roster than they went on that run with in 2019, if it's Mikal Bridges or Jaylen Brown, because I think that's just half the battle.
Answer me this. If the Blazers had the Lakers bench this season, just take the Lakers bench, put it as the Blazers bench, are the Blazers in the Western Conference Finals?
I don't think so, because I don't think the Lakers bench is that good. It's just better than it was.
Aren't they one of the better benches in the NBA?
Depends on who you're bringing off the bench. But like, if you're starting D'Lo and Austin Reeves and LeBron and AD.
So you got Schroeder, you got Rui. I mean, heck, you could throw Malik Beasley out there and make some shots. Troy Brown Jr. is not terrible. Like, he wasn't even playing.
I mean, I think they're solid. I don't think they're a top five bench. What pisses me off is the Blazers could have traded 2 second round picks for Rui at the deadline and didn't.
All right, well, We don't, I know that you're going to say you know that for sure. We don't know anything about that for sure. But,
well, I mean, he only fetched 3 seconds with them having to take back none salary when they didn't want to take back salary. So, I mean, 3 seconds then.
Yeah, 3 seconds. You said 2 seconds, you big jerk.
Portland had a TPE, Steven. Trade exception. They didn't have to send salary back.
I don't know, man. I just don't think this team's close. Like, this is my problem. I just don't think they're close. Like, why are the Blazers going to build? So, okay, I just want this on the record here. We were going to talk about DeAndre Ayton. I don't want to because he is a terrible fit. We'll talk about him later.
I just want to hear you say you don't want him.
I don't want over DeAndre Ayton.
I don't want DeAndre Ayton. I can't say that he's worse than Nurk, but his money, yeah, he's worse than Nurk.
Awesome. I love it because I agree. The freaking third pick for Ayton stuff? Oh my.
That's
Steven.
Bogus.
I want to have the team be good next year, and that's going to get done by trading the third pick. I don't want to trade the third pick for any crap like that, though. You will. Dude, if the Blazers traded the third pick for DeAndre Ayton, I would have to go LeBron mode and, like, fake consider retirement.
I'd pick a new team. That's what I would do. Okay, so DeAndre Ayton out with the third pick. Pascal Siakam, any type of package around him out for the third pick?
I mean, he doesn't solve the perimeter defense issue. So he's more of a Grant defensively than a Mikal or a Jaylen Brown. He doesn't really solve the fact that we can't defend on the perimeter.
I agree. I think if the Blazers ended up with Pascal Siakam for third pick, it's a failure. Not ideal. So the only two guys you really think that are realistic with the Blazers to trade the draft pick, Mikal Bridges, Jaylen Brown? Is that okay to say?
Yes, and fingers crossed that maybe Harden leaving will get Joel Embiid to reconsider.
Right. Okay, on the record here, Torrey, what is your number one option for the Trailblazers with this number three pick?
In terms of the draft or in terms of a trade?
Whatever you want.
Three and Ant for Jaylen Brown. I am sold on that. Like, even if you don't think that team is that good, I just want to see how good a Dame-led team is with a guy like that as the number two. I just want to see.
It would be fun. They'd be one of the more interesting teams in the NBA. I agree with you. For me, I think I've made it pretty clear. I want the Blazers to draft Scoot Henderson with that number three pick. But
here's my question for you, okay? Because there's a name we haven't talked about in the stream. Let's say Scoot goes number two to Charlotte and the Blazers are rebuilding. Let's say they do your Dame trade and get five firsts from a team that doesn't have them. At three, Brandon Miller or Amen Thompson? Is it clear cut for you?
I'll be honest, I would need to watch more of Amen Thompson. I mean, I've obviously watched him. I've seen things. I need to dig more into him. He seems like he has a higher ceiling than Brandon Miller. I like Brandon Miller a lot. I think he's a really good player. I don't know what his ceiling is, though. I think, like, could he be an all-star? Yeah, probably. I don't know that he is. We talked to the Alabama strength and conditioning coach on the BFT because I know him. He coached me when I was in college. And I was talking to him off the air, and he's just like, he's a dude. Like, he is legit that guy. He gained 13 pounds during the season in weight, just in muscle. Like, he has a lot more muscle to build on. I think Brandon Miller is a really good player. I think Thompson has more potential. So I'm not sold that on 100% of Brandon Miller, but right now I'm leaning Brandon Miller.
I would go Amen. Here's the thing, like, how often do you get a chance to swing on superstar potential? Usually only when you have a top five pick or you get lucky with that.
That's why they need to draft a player, Tori. You just proved my point. Draft Scoot.
But we already got a superstar. We got a superstar already.
Yeah, for a year, maybe.
We got a superstar. Let's get a superstar. Yeah, yeah. Is Jaylen Brown a superstar? One. I mean, you could get if you think Jaylen Brown's a superstar, you could have two superstars. You know how hard that. When was the last time we had two superstars?
Drexler and, I don't know, Porter.
Jaylen Brown would be the best offseason acquisition in terms of.
Ever.
Oh, not even close.
Some people said, like, Scotty, but.
Not even close. The best guy is, like, Kenny Anderson and Brian Grant. Those are the best dudes they've ever got, by far.
In my opinion, we got the best Blazer ever, and we could get the best offseason acquisition ever. That sounds pretty good to me, Steven. But, I mean, Amen is my guy, and I pulled my community, because Eric's like, oh, you'd go Brandon Miller for sure. Brandon Miller. Eric loves his shooters. Like, he loved Jabari last year, you know, his shooters with some size.
He really seems to like those, like, 6'8 wings. Like, loves those guys.
Yeah, but I just think Amen has... He's very risky, but I think you got to gamble on the upside. People are like, oh, he can't shoot. Dude, I think he'll be able to get to the rim whenever he wants. He's so creative with, like, his footwork and the way he changes pace, some of his pickups, like, his finishes. Crazy athlete, 6'6", 7-foot wingspan. Super quick first step. Like, insane first step. I think you just look at Jaw and how he just constantly gets to the rim and just lives at the rim at 6'2". I think Amen Thompson will be in the same mold. Now, if Amen Thompson can learn how to become an average shooter, I think he's a top 15 player. I think he's a lockdown defender. I think he's a guy that just gets to the rim at will. He can pass the ball. If he could just become an average shooter, he's a top 15 guy. Guys can learn how to shoot. Yeah. So even if it doesn't happen, I still think he'll be a really good NBA player. But if it does happen, like, I think he'll be a top 15 player. And I think if you use the draft pick and Scoot stop there, if you're Portland, I think you use it on Amen Thompson. Because here's the thing. Like, I know Dame doesn't want to keep it, blah, blah, blah. If there is a scenario where Dame stays and you use it, obviously Brandon Miller would make sense. Because he would help you more next year, but I think Amen Thompson can be a plus defender right away. And then I would love to see his playmaking ability with, like, Damon Simons playing off that a little bit. And I would love to see Amen run a bench unit, maybe play next to some Sharp and just play in transition. Because Sharp and Amen would just absolutely live in transition. So Amen Thompson is, like, my draft crush in this top five. I like him more than Brandon Miller.
You're just proving my point that the Blazers need to draft a guy. This is what it is. But if it's Jaylen Brown, I won't be mad about it. Like, I'll be happy about it if it's Jaylen Brown. I think he's a really good player, obviously. Like I just said, he'd be the best offseason acquisition the Blazers really have ever gotten. So I wouldn't be against it. I'm just more for drafting a player. Same with Mikal Bridges. Like, I would be happy that they get Mikal Bridges because I think that they would be pretty solid, right? I don't think they would contend for a championship, but I think they'd be a lot better, and he would be a good fit next to Dame. And it would be fun to see how Dame plays with a legitimate, like, wing player who can play defense, who can do a little bit of offense. So just to be clear, I want the draft pick, but I also, if they got Brown and Bridges, I won't be mad. If they got anybody else, I'd be a little upset on that one.
I think that's very reasonable, man. I think that's actually surprisingly close to how I feel. I'm just, you know how I feel about trading Dame and just, you know, that whole thing. I think that's Eric's standpoint as well. I mean, there's a lot of people that want Karl Anthony Towns for the third pick. I don't want that dude. DeAndre Ayton. You got to trade the third pick for a star or a Mikal Bridges who's a perfect fit and could be a star. Like, that's what you got to get back for it. You can't get these centers that are soft mentally and weak mentally. And it's, you know, everybody's Nurk's just soft and weak mentally. And then they want guys that are soft and weak mentally at Ayton and Cat. And I don't.
You don't want DeAndre Ayton, who couldn't guard Nikola Jokic, who is the best player in the NBA. Like, if you're getting him, you're getting him to guard Jokic and to be a contender. He literally, Jokic averaged a triple double against him. Like, what are we doing here? Like, he's not the answer.
Bro, I've had Suns fans say, oh, I just want Bismack and Jock next season. I don't want Ayton. But then they think they can get the third pick for Ayton. It just kind of doesn't make sense. It's like, okay, if you value Jock and Bismack as much as Ayton, why would a team trade the third pick for Ayton? Doesn't make sense. But yeah, I do not want that dude on my basketball team. You would have to give me a first-round pick just to take him on. So the third pick for him? Oh, if I have to see one more suggestion like that. Even Anthony Simons straight up for him? Just disgusting. I hate every DeAndre Ayton trade idea.
It's I feel like that's where the mute button comes in, Tori. You need to mute and block those people that put those out there, because it just aggravates you. It makes you boil up a little bit inside.
Yeah, but you know, that can be fun sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess when you're younger, when you're old like me,
it just makes you more mad. But I think that's it, Tori. That's all I got for now. I need to take a break. Recalibrate everything. I have
tons of other things I need to discuss with you.
I got Anthony Simons stuff that I want to talk to you about. I got Nurk stuff that I want to talk to you about, but we'll have to do that another episode. So I want to thank everyone for listening. Be sure to check out Tori on Twitter. Blazes Up Rise, YouTube. You guys know where to go. I'm at Steven_VOM on Twitter. Catch me on 750 Game with John Cavanaugh's Bald Face Truth. And with that, this is the Believe in Blazers podcast. And as always, come on Blazers.
Trade the third overall pick. Come on, Blazers, trade the third overall pick.